Hey everybody, it's whatever day you're listening to it, and this
May 4th, everyone.
Boss Barrel Radio. I am Griff Hoffman. With me is Jeff Brewer.
Hello.
And chest hair man himself, has a good nickname, James Scherer.
I have the finest chest hairs.
When I look at James's chest hairs, I get the vapors.
I've always relied on the chest hairs of strangers.
Actually, I once tufted chest hairs on the mean streets. just to feel like I was alive.
Nope. Human hair sells for a lot.
I once got a chest hair Jerry curl because mine are too straight.
You know what human hair is good for?
War. Satanic rituals?
Ha!
No, it's actually good for cleaning up oil spills.
What?
I'm not even joking.
It soaks it up?
Yeah, it has some kind of properties. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure.
You know what else is good at soaking up oil spills?
I think you just had some sort of crazy fever dream, and that's...
Nope, it's on BBC News. It's on BBC News.
Truth and facts.
Now, are they saying this, like, it'd be great if we had a ton of human hair to clean up all this oil, or are they saying it like, we routinely use tons of human hair to clean up all this oil?
It was used to help with cleaning up the BP oil spill in Gulf of Mexico.
Man, I should get over there.
Roll around in it. Suck it up.
Listen to this without context. The donated hair and fur is then stuffed into nylon tights to make sausage-shaped booms to string out along beaches.
You think you need to... The human hair and fur is stuffed into sausage-shaped booms so that it is strung along...
For BBC News, I'm Worthington Cotts.
Oh, man.
Well, hey, guys. It's the week. Happy Mother's Day.
Thanks.
How'd you know he was pregnant?
I can smell it. I can see his glow. You're glowing.
You're off your rhythm.
The moon exerts more power over me than it ever has before.
I actually saw you sign up for all those Celtic classes, Celtic Lamaze classes. I knew.
What is Lamaze? Lamaze.
It's
Lamaze?
It's breathing.
Llamas?
Yep.
Llamas.
Breathing. Yep, it's Jeff Minter's next new game. Forget Tempest. This one, Lamaze.
You should play TXK. I think you'll appreciate
it. I will.
Get it for like $2.
I will. Once I get done with Grandpa, I will play that one.
Yeah, just like no more than $2 though, because it's very arcadey, and I don't know if you like arcadey games.
DXK? I like them. What game is this?
TXK. It's a Vita game.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a
listen to any of the podcasts we've had in the last 3 months.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've been on them, bro.
It's a shooter where you essentially you're stuck on like geometric shapes, and you can move around the outline of the shape, and enemies come at the screen, and you have to move around the outlines and shoot them. But it's got a lot of fun stuff. Like, it's got cool music.
That sounds great. I must have blocked this out.
When you beat the levels, yeah. There's just this person who goes, "Yes, yes, 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 yes."
So you.
Yes. It's a great little game. It's real fun. It's a nice little time passer.
Cool.
But yeah. TXK.
Cool.
Well, we're too far in to get out now, so let's keep talking about some video games. Jamie.
Oh no.
What have you played?
Yeah. I played Sports Friends.
Whoa.
Which is awesome. Did either of you guys pick it up? They got the Sports Friends?
Sports Friends with benefits?
I haven't had time for anything that would require more than one person.
Let me describe it for you, because it's a really unique game. So it's local, multiplayer-focused, retro-style games.
Is it just so like every game of the past 3 months?
Yeah. I picked it. So, yeah, obviously, you know, I think had Jeff and I not tried this at E3, I would not have bought it because, as Jeff just mentioned, there's tons of these games coming out. And I think that if I had to choose one of them, I'd probably lean towards Towerfall. But I haven't tried Towerfall. I did try this at did I say E3? I meant to say PAX.
You were close.
And loved it.
Yeah,
we played one of the four games that come with it. Actually, there are six. Two of them are secrets.
I think it's
one that is best known as for housing John Sebastian Joust.
Yes,
Johann Sebastian Joust,
which is awesome.
You and me.
I was just going to quickly say, Jamie, between this and Towerfall, unless you're like an indie cred person who's kind of up their own ass, I think this is a more fun game.
What is
from Sports Friends? Of what we played of it, I was having like more instant, entertaining, laugh out loud fun than I might think I would have had with. I think Towerfall might be more tactical.
Gotcha. No, this game is incredible. Shannon is notoriously poor at doing anything in a video game. She enjoys playing them with me, like she enjoys watching me play them. But even if it were something, let's say, playing like a 2D Mario game, she just can't do it. She can't control the characters. It's like excruciating to watch. And I was kind of worried because
I'm sensing a new stream.
Oh yes, Shannon, we should do this.
Shannon plays poorly.
No, you guys, listen to this. So I gave her the controller, the PS4 controller, to play Sports Friends with me. The first thing she does is she holds it between her thumb and forefinger with her other three fingers extended as if she's picking up like a dead animal. And she holds it up in front of her face. Like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Well, she was trying to use it like chopsticks because it comes from the East.
And then I'm like, no, Shannon, you hold it like this, and I showed her. So then what she does is she takes like the wings of the controller and she holds them again between her thumb and her forefinger so that no fingers can reach any of the buttons.
Oh my gosh, Jamie.
Yeah.
Have you ever given her flour?
Oh, no, but we should record that. That's gold right there.
That could be her thing, where she gets it instantly.
It's her viral video right there.
but no, this is the thing that she got instantly. It was amazing. The pole vaulting game, which is probably the most fun game that comes with Sports Friends. Not that the others aren't fun, and I'll get to them. But the pole vaulting game is it's either one versus one or two versus two, and you have pole vaults, and you vault, and you kick a ball suspended on a wire in the air into the opposing goal. It's very simple.
Also, the pole vaults are super floppy.
The pole vaults are super floppy and hard to control. And
aren't they mapped to the right analog stick?
Yes. So you use only the analog sticks. And I was worried about that, first of all, because it's kind of an unconventional control scheme. I was like, is she going to get this? Is she not going to get this? She got it instantly. And then I was kind of worried because I was thinking they designed these controls so that they're just a little bit loose, like, but in a fun way. Mm-hmm. And I was worried that she would think it would just feel weird. Like, I was worried that she would think, why can't I control this person? Mm-hmm. But she even got it immediately. She was like, oh, this feels weird but fun. And I was like, yeah, you get it. Awesome. And we played, and she beat me, and it was amazing. So
and then you beat her.
No, actually, she just kept beating me. Oh, well, you mean in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah. And but that came later after lots of alcohol. And the second game is Johann Sebastian Joust. Do you guys know what that is, or have you just heard the name? Or
no, I'm familiar with it. I'm sure you are too, Jeff.
But you should, tell the listening audience.
Okay, so you either hold the PlayStation Wii control. What do they call them?
The
Move controllers.
Yeah, you can either hold Move controllers, or you can just use a DualShock 4. You hold it with two hands, and you stand in a circle with the other players.
It's like egg jousting.
Exactly. Music starts playing. You can move faster with the tempo of the music, But the tempo of the music determines how fast you can move, and the idea is to kind of make the other player move too quickly by any means necessary. Tons of fun. We just played it sitting on the couch. It was awesome. It was really, really fun. Then we played the third game, which is a little more in-depth, a little more strategic. It has like a couple fighting moves in it. It's essentially you're trying to hit a ball into the other person's goal, but you can kind of fight that person for the ball. That one I don't think is girlfriend friendly, but I think for us playing it, it'd be tons of fun. For us non-casual scum players.
Hardcore.
Exactly. And the fourth game is a very simple game that reminds me a little bit of Video Ball, just in terms of how I felt playing it and the graphics. It's very simple. You play as squares. You're simply trying to grab a pixel in the middle of the screen and bring it to your opponent's section of the map. It's kind of like Capture the Flag, but with sport ball or video ball.
Sport ball is a great sequel.
Can I just say that Video Ball is going to feature online play, which makes me so happy. That
yes, thank God.
Every other couch-friendly game out there, because I want to play that game with you guys so bad.
And there are two secret games. One secret game, both of which you unlock by putting in codes on the title screen. One you unlock with a Konami code, and the other you unlock with another similar code. And I haven't tried them yet, but they look fun. They look kind of in the same vein as the other four. I'm surprised how much fun that game is, and I think that I'll get a lot out of it.
How many U.S. dollars does it cost?
It costs 15 U.S. dollars.
Holy okay. shoot, that's a bargain. Six
can you
games?
Give me that? can you give me that number in Dogecoin?
I wish I could give you that number in Dogecoin.
I hear that Dogecoin has a NASCAR car.
Yes, they do.
Amazing.
Much left.
Yeah.
Very pissed off.
That's what I played.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds sweet.
I also played this great game. I've been playing it at St. Michael's Hospital where I do my research. It's called Electronic Medical Records.
I play that game.
It's like imagine that it's 1996.
Okay.
And you're trying to buy something on the internet.
Okay.
And that's pretty much the game. Just imagine trying to do anything on the internet.
Do you use Anasazi, Jamie?
What?
Do you use Anasazi? What service do you use to browse the
No, record? there's thousands of them. It's very unlikely that whatever you guys use. Yeah, I mean, like, it's even – so where I go to school and the hospital where I do my research, they're 15 minutes away, completely different EMRs.
That's completely, very sad.
Completely not interoperable.
I'm glad that we've realized the dream.
Yeah, the dream's here. The dream of having Java interfaces that look like straight out of 1996 is here.
Yours sounds better than mine. Mine looks like it was built for Windows XP and just never went any further.
I'm right there. It's like the worst Java applet. It's like if you were to play a game in the 90s that had a computer in it, and they were trying to show you what computers would look like in the future, this would be that.
I had a great interaction at a hospital where I asked them, because I was picking someone up there, I asked them if they were going to upgrade from Windows XP because every computer there was running them. And they looked at me like I was the most like techie person that had ever walked into that.
Yep.
One of them made a comment literally was like, oh, my son loves technology. How do you not know about this? It's been in the news so much.
I installed Chrome on one of the computers, and I was using it, and the doctor came up to me. He's like, "What's that? It's so fast!" And I'm like,
"I'm surprised you didn't get scolded for that." Yeah. Usually, they have very strict rules about what you're allowed to put on them.
Yeah, I just do whatever. I can't stand the IE. It's like IE4.
Yeah, we have Internet Explorer 8 on my end. Windows XP, it's so bad.
I'd love to see a picture if it wasn't completely against HIPAA regulations.
No, I'll take a picture of it without a patient up, and then
yeah, I can do the same. Yeah,
all it's right, amazing.
Well, I'll
it's
take a picture worst. Of your mortgage. I work in DOS, essentially.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty much like that.
Nice.
It's I literally think we could all command prompts.
We could all give each other a run for our money. Yes. Our shitty computer interfaces.
Well, do you guys still have printers? Do you guys still have printers that print the one long page with the holes on the side? Because we do.
God, thank God, no, we don't. But other departments do.
I believe those are called dot matrix dot printers. Matrix. That's very sad that you still have those.
That's where the hottest porn comes from.
I'm pretty sure they were mentioned in a William Gibson novel at one point.
Yeah. Dot Matrix, I think, is his next book.
He's still just stuck in the 80s. He sure, never escaped.
No, he's the future of the 80s, man.
He's guesting in Blood Dragon 3.
Oh, God, that'd be so good.
That'd be amazing.
Probably be Neal Stephenson, though, actually, if it's anybody.
Yeah.
I've never read a Neal Stephenson.
A thing.
You should. You should read Snow Crash.
Yeah. Yes, Snow Crash. You've recommended that to me before. I should read that.
Yep. It's a trip, man. It's a fucking trip.
I'm looking forward to it.
Should I get high before I read it?
No, because, I don't know. Unless you're super smart and you need to make yourself dumber, then yeah.
You're 420 blazing, man.
My new name, Hot Biff 420.
So this is a Giant Bomb thing?
Yeah. They were trying to come up with the names. So you guys never played Unreal Tournament, so you wouldn't know. But Unreal Tournament characters are the worst. The worst generic 90s trash characters. Just imagine like the worst Mortal Kombat characters, but made even worse. Somehow worse.
Okay. People like, love those Mortal Kombat characters.
They just have like the lady with the boobs out and the scar and the red hair. And then there's just like random 80s action hero with sunglasses. And his name will be like Jason. And he'll be in there.
You mean Striker?
And so they were trying to come up with UT names, and Jeff Grossman posited Hot Biff.
You know, funny story about shitty characters. Today,
Little Steve.
I played a WWE game with one of my participants.
Nice.
Nice.
The characters, I consider them cartoons. They're all cartoons. There's like Yokozuna, the 500-pound what do they call those people? The fat guys.
Yeah.
Help me out here.
Yep. You're going.
All the ladies are like, when they wrestle, they're like, this is a show that I'd pay to see.
Puppies! Holly.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the worst. Wrestling is the worst, guys.
No, it's not. It's great.
It's awful.
No, it's not.
I got actively mad while I was playing this game.
Really? Why?
I don't know. It just grosses me out. So good.
Wrestling is the JRPG of the West.
It's
anime of the West. It's the same dumb characters, it's the same big stupid garbage nonsense, but it's the Western version of it.
There's so much bullshit faux machismo in it.
Okay, and like, how's that different from JRPG nonsense?
They don't really have machismo in the same way. I don't like when the character. I don't like the. It's gross.
Did either of you guys play WCW versus NWO World Tour on the Nintendo 64?
I did.
Of course.
That was a great game.
I love that game.
Wrestling is really dumb.
Yes, it is. But it's also totally awesome.
I hate it. I was so mad. Huh. It was making me so angry. Anyway, that's all.
You can buy WCW versus NWO on the interwebs for like a buck, and going to.
Yeah.
Is your 64
WWE network is totally, totally awesome.
My 64 is somewhere, and it is operational, and I will fish it out. And after being at PAX, I realized that like maybe I should take better care of that shit, because there are children who like go nuts when they
join the club. Join the club.
Yeah. Because for me, it's just like that weird Nintendo system that came out when I was playing PlayStation. but now I'm kind of seeing it in a different light.
So wait, you never keyed into like all the love that the 64 got?
No, because I only got a 64 very late in its life cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my 64 exposure, playing VCon Racing, all that good stuff, Star Fox, that was all via friends like mm-hmm. Axel. Mm-hmm. I never had it. And I kind of, at that era, since I had a PlayStation and nothing else, I was a huge PlayStation fanboy.
Yeah.
So I was like all into FF. And everyone else who was playing like Zelda, I was like, Zelda's dumb.
I see.
I don't get it. There's can't no like, Japanese. There's no weird. They don't talk in Zelda.
Can't you like them both?
Where's the angst?
Yes. You can, but 13-year-old me didn't understand.
I see.
Yeah. Right,
you're like, where's the Doom train? This is dumb.
Yeah. Where's the existential angst?
So basically, 13-year-old you is like what I am now. No.
No.
Maybe a little. With my silly Nintendo love.
But I remember Griffin had one, and I watched him play the Donkey Kong game.
Well, that was a bunch of horse shit.
Yeah, I was going to say, was that game like actually good? Because I never owned it.
No, it's terrible.
Okay. But it has a VK rap, though.
It does. That is the best part.
He's finally back to kick some tail. DK.
Donkey Kong is here. Who?
When Griffin sings it, it sounds like he's vomiting.
That's probably what happened after you played the game.
Yeah. No, actually, I got to the point in the game where you could unlock the Donkey Kong arcade cabinet, and you could play regular Donkey Kong, and that's when I stopped. Wow. And I was like, well,
didn't they replace generic female character number one, Dixie, with generic female character number two, Trixie?
No.
There was totally a Trixie Kong in that game, was there not?
No.
Okay.
You thinking Candy Kong?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I thought there was a Trixie Kong. I guess I'm
there
wrong.
There was Donkey Kong. There was Diddy Kong, of course. There was Lady Kong, Dixie. And then there was the weird... No, wait. Maybe she wasn't even in that game as a character playable. You had three, four people. It was all dude-centric. It was Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong, like stupid, like the Downy Kong or something was his name. Like he was like an orangutan and he shot a blowgun. And his controls were always inversed. And then there was like the hardcore Gorilla Kong that like shot like pineapple rape grenades.
No, I'm trying to find it. Okay, there was a lady in this game. I'm going to tell you who it is.
There's more
Kim
than...
Anderson.
Tiny Kong, the younger sister of Dixie Kong.
Okay.
Because they couldn't just put Dixie Kong in with her awesome helicopter spin. They had to put in some other lady who was like completely unnoteworthy and just looked a lot like Dixie Kong.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard some noise.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I played one other game. I played Child of Light. And I played about an hour after what you guys saw me stream, and I've made the executive decision to not play that game anymore.
Oh no,
I'm sorry.
It's too bad. I was really hoping it. What?
You gave it the Octodad.
I gave it the Octodad. Exactly. I was really hoping that the graphics could carry me through, and they are beautiful graphics. But I can't get into it. A Polygon reviewer said it best. It's like, I just don't care. The story is so non-existent and so poorly written that it just is not enough there to carry me through. The combat isn't too interesting. It's a lot of good ideas, and I don't know. Execution is like halfway there.
I feel like Ubisoft does that a lot. They have like awesome concepts that just the execution always falls short in a key area.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
Yeah.
It's real sad. I really wanted that game. Great.
It's like if you watch a video of that game, you know everything you need to know about that game.
Bah. Oh gosh. Well, hey, just me here now. Lost the call. Coming right back.
Got how they used to do. Whoa.
Sorry.
He's back.
I lost the call for a sec.
We noticed.
It's fine.
He's dumb, dumb. Jamie's watching WCW versus NWO videos.
All right, great.
It's amazing.
All right. Anyway, I can say what I'm playing if you want.
Yes, let's.
Okay. Okay. So I'll start with the smaller piece. I've been playing, or since we last podcasted, which is a couple weeks ago, I played a little bit more FTL for the iPad. That continues to be a great game. One thing that sucks about it is I will literally spend like 2 hours on a single session, which makes it, I'll like turn it on before I go to bed, and then it'll be like midnight, and I'll be like, oh, what have I done?
Do you feel weird spending that much time on the tablet? Like, do you feel like you, like, subconsciously, without recognizing it, you've crumpled yourself into a strange position? I find that I do that sometimes.
Huh. I don't know. I actually quite enjoy playing on there. I have the smart cover, and I'm sure you probably have the smart cover of some kind, Jamie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're both like that.
Suckers is what we are.
Yes, that's a good term. And I find that the position where it's like supposed to be typing friendly is pretty good for some games. And FTL is the kind of game where it pauses a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think it actually adds more pausing when you're playing it on mobile to like kind of accommodate the fact that you might like have a harder time. So it never feels like so frenetic that you like crouch over and like hunch and do that thing that you do when you're playing something mobile. And it's really such a great fit. It's just really fun to play. The only beef I have with it is that, Griffin, do you remember the laser weapons?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah.
Where you have to like drag your laser across the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very unoptimized for a finger.
Oh really? Why? That seems like it would make sense. Why doesn't it work?
It does, but unfortunately, it's in order to like, depending on where you put the laser, like if you moved it a couple extra pixels to the left, you could get like two more rooms sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You get in those situations, but you have to use your fat fingers to put the laser where you want it to start, and it's really finicky.
What if you have slender Japanese woman fingers like me?
Well, then you're golden. It's an amazing port, and it is my preferred way to play now because I can play it in bed and not bother my girlfriend. But it's that one little thing is like the only blight on an otherwise fantastic experience. And I'm having so much fun with it. I think the new content has just reinvigorated the experience for me. It makes it so much harder, but it's really fun. And it's such a solid game. And
did you not find the original game difficult enough?
The original game was challenging.
Okay.
It's a hard game. You know, sometimes you'll get luckier and you'll have a better run. It's more luck dependent for sure than like Spelunky, which was sort of a contemporary when it first came out, and is sort of a contemporary now in terms of like high awareness roguelikes, like roguelikes that people know about. So yeah, sometimes like you'll do all the right things, but you'll still lose, which can piss some people off about roguelikes.
Mm.
But it's just a great game, and it's something about it. I don't know. The music is great. The new music is really cool because it kind of subtly creeps in, and it's like the perfect DLC music. It's really funny. It's like it's like remixes of the old songs, but cooler and more up tempo, and like it almost feels like they're building on the old songs, and the way that the old songs flow into the new songs sometimes, because the music is like continuous in that game. It really just enhances the whole experience. It feels like you're playing the enhanced edition.
Hmm.
And there's so much new interesting interactions that appear just with a few, they chucked a few extra ingredients in there. It's pretty substantial, but they chucked in, you know, an extra race, an extra ship, two different new systems, and then a whole bunch of other stuff. Actually, I think three new systems, and then a bunch of weapons and stuff, and new events and things. And they've like tweaked old events, so like maybe like you'll go into an old event and like you'll lose a crew member, but your clone bay will revive them. Or like all these new, just interesting interactions have popped up, and I'm just really enjoying kind of diving into that game again. And it feels great on an iPad. I really having a blast with it. So. I think that pretty much covers FTL. Griffin, do you have any plans to return to it ever again? Or are you done with that game?
I'll probably touch it again at some point. I've played it a little bit on my computer. I won't be playing it on the iPad just because I already bought it once. And though I do love the game, I don't really see any reason to be playing it on the iPad since I never have control of my iPad anyway. So why does it even matter?
Yes, the iPad has this weird quality where
of immediately others want children to use it. Yes, yeah, yep.
Well, in your case, children, but in my case, just significant others actually want to use it all the time. Which is a strange thing because it didn't happen with any other devices that I have.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I'm totally happy with it.
Yeah, but yeah, Jamie, I think I gifted it to you, right? Long ago.
Yes, and I still haven't tried it.
You should really play it. The advanced edition is like the time to jump in. You'll get lots of cool stuff. It is harder, but it's not so much harder than.
Well, I'd play the one you gave me.
Well, you get the advanced edition for free.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I would suggest enabling it from the outset.
Oh, I will enable it. I'm an enabler.
So yeah, that's FTL. And then the other big game I've been playing is Dark Souls 2. And yay. I have invested quite a bit more time into that game since we last spoke. Gotten real far. I have almost completed, I guess, the first like chunk of the game where you like light all the primal bonfires. This is not too much in the way of spoilers, don't worry, Jamie. And I think my initial assessment still pretty much holds. It is a great game. It's definitely a solid sequel. There are some differences. The levels definitely feel more corridor-ish. It feels more like there's just four paths. Whereas in the old game, everything just felt more like connected and it was less clear where you were going, which yeah. I think for some people is bad. But for other people, I liked that about it.
It felt like there's a ton more optional stuff in the last game too.
Yes, definitely. Like areas that you could completely miss. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any areas in this game that are completely missable other than like the rat den, which is like, yeah, like, you know, I would have expected a little better from a missable area. It kind of feels like an invasion area, like an arena area. Yeah. So that's kind
of
lame.
Can I ask you a question? This is for both of you guys. I'm playing Dark Souls 2 as well, and I have very much enjoyed my time with it. I don't know emotionally if I can handle that game. It's like I don't know if it's fun to me. I'm not criticizing it. I very much enjoy playing it. I enjoy the way it feels when I play it. I just, when I think about playing it, instead of saying to myself, yeah, I'm gonna play some Dark Souls, I have to ask myself, like, do I feel like playing Dark Souls? Like, can I stand playing Dark Souls right now? Is that what you're supposed to do?
First of all, Jamie, I absolutely adore the way that you you intonate the title of this game, calling it Dark Souls instead of Dark Souls. It's super
hilarious. I didn't really notice.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Okay. I love it. It's like get backers versus get backers.
Make fun of my girlfriend about that kind of shit all the time, but I didn't notice it with you, Jamie.
I'm gonna force myself to say that from this point on because it makes me laugh so
Dark
much.
Souls.
Dark Souls.
One of my Dark Souls.
Yeah, I think that's part. Like it's like going to the gym, kind of. Like,
yeah. That's very apt.
I also enjoy it. Like there's I kind of dread it, but there's also like a hook there that's like I know I'm gonna get beat up, I know I'm gonna get frustrated, and I'm gonna get shaky and walk away from the controller, which I do so rarely in any video game, but will.
Yeah. Do you guys actually get like throw the controller mad, or like how mad are we talking here?
I don't get mad. I get sad.
I get like adrenaline.
I get sad because losing souls to me, which happens a lot to me.
Yeah.
I feel so sad.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely an emotional game sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. I really enjoy it. Sometimes I'm very disheartened by certain things that happen and I'll quit for a little while. But I don't know. I've really done a good job keeping up the drive in this one, and I kept up the drive pretty well in Dark Souls 1 just until Dark Souls 2 came out, and I plan to go back and finish it afterwards.
Well,
I don't know. It definitely, yeah, go ahead.
Jamie, I'll say for mere mortals like us, if we do lose a ton of souls, like if you do find yourself like killing a boss and then getting killed because you're being dumb and you lose 40,000 souls afterwards, there's still hope. Like, you can still keep going, because the game does have a lot of systems built in that if you do ever need to grind, you can grind. Or even if you don't want to do that, like, one of the best things that has helped me in this game, which I just recently discovered, was like just kind of throwing caution to the wind, being like, I'm going to take off all of my armor and put on some weird weapons that I've never used before and just try it this way. What the hell? And that kind of like retooling of my thought process has helped me to like better appreciate a situation and interact differently with it, and then kind of like approach it differently. So it's totally a problem solving game, and you're never going to get stymied by your actual like in-game statistics.
Yeah, and they're like useful and important, but they don't feel too bad if you lose souls, because everyone's been there. Like, I have lost tons of souls in this game and in Dark Souls 1. 13 souls.
One time, double bought a weapon.
No, I've lost, you know, like 50,000 souls or something like that.
So when I first started playing, I was like, you, Griffin, I was like, I'm going to put everything into strength, but that's probably a bad idea.
Probably. Usually with strength, you want to just... you want to just kind of put in what you need to equip the weapon and then kind of play the waiting game a little while and like work on the areas that need work.
You do what you like, want to do, kind of see... There's no wrong answer.
Yeah.
Except adaptability.
Can you use magic from the start? Are there like spells that you can use?
Yeah.
Or does everyone pretty much start with a sword?
You need to level up your attunement stats so you can actually equip them. Otherwise you can't equip anything. There are some spells that have no requirements, but you need to have attunement leveled up. And you also need to equip the appropriate, like, catalyst in order to start casting spells. So for healing spells, I think it's chimes. For hexes, you can use either or. And for sorceries, I think it's staves, or staves, rather, not staves.
Staves.
Right.
And then, do those things run out?
There's other crap. There's other things in the game. But yeah, essentially you're correct. Like, there are things you equip. It's not quite as straightforward as that. Like, there's some bleed over and whatnot.
I have a shield that lets me cast spells right now. But every spell has a certain number of charges, Jamie. And you can get more charges by having higher intelligence or faith stats depending on what
you And then you can also use like items and whatnot to alter that as well. Like the game is brilliantly equipped to accommodate magic use, unlike the previous games. So if you'd like to try something new and interesting and do something that is totally amazing and broken, try doing magic.
But I will warn the caveat, like, it's not as immediately accessible as melee. And I also kind of feel like melee might be a good way to experience the game to begin with, because you get, I mean, look, if melee is just not working for you at all, then just, like, okay. But if it is working for you, it might be a better way to start out, because I think magic is geared more towards people who are familiar with the mechanics of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think melee is both more basic and, like, kind of more, like, visceral and more, like, what Dark Souls is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to try magic at some point, too, so I don't know.
And, like, all of... Your moment-to-moment encounters, your melee is going to be the better choice because, you know, they're usually up in your face, very simple, like, one-on-one, hit-for-hit fights. Very simple actions. But then every boss fight, like, if you ever find yourself, like, getting frustrated with a boss fight, it's usually... The answer usually can be go into a corner and shoot them with super powerful spells and just kill them immediately.
One of the things that you have to be good at if you're going to use magic is getting away from the enemy so you can wind up your spell, which takes time.
Yeah, time and stats. It's all on how you build your character.
No, you're right, Griffin. But I think it helps to have an understanding of mechanics with magic, whereas you have more freedom to kind of dick around when it comes to melee. It's like less unforgiving.
Also, I think another, and this is really silly, I think, Jeff, that you'll Yeah, you'll understand this maybe more than Griffin will, but when I started the game, I spent a lot of time making my character and choosing the way that she looks, and I was like, oh, I like this, and I spent like half an hour just designing my character. And then you just die and you go zombie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no! So I think I literally want to re-roll a different character that I don't care as much about the way that he or she looks, so that when they turn into a zombie, I will be okay with that. And I also think beyond that little hang up that I have, I also was not prepared for the penalty that the game forces you to pay in terms of your life bar when you die repeatedly.
Yeah.
I wasn't like emotionally, spiritually prepared for
that.
That's
one of the worst.
So it's hard,
new edition.
Hard for me to see that and to think like it, because I don't know when to use an effigy, a human effigy. Like, I haven't played enough to know when it's smart or not smart to do that. And I'm just constantly asking myself the question, is now the right time?
I have like 10 in my inventory right now, just to give you an idea, Jamie. And I use them pretty regularly after like clearing an area or right before a boss.
Yeah. And I probably use double what Jeff does, and I'm at 10 as well.
Yeah. You can buy them from vendors too. I was going to say, Jamie, what was I going to say? Shit. On the subject of, what was we talking about before the human effigies?
The way your character looks, and then they turn into a zombie. And you're like, damn it!
I think it might have been right after that.
I don't know.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, in the first game, you don't lose health when you die. The only time you lose health in the first game, and this is what literally made me quit the first game for a month, is if you get cursed in the first game, you die immediately. You get petrified and you die immediately. And you respawn with half health. And that moment made me quit the first game for a month.
Yeah.
So having to experience that when you die all the time and slowly in the second game is very soul-crushing, yep. I will say.
And I know that... I'm sure you guys don't remember, but when I first started playing this, I said that is, I think, the weakest point and the most frustrating thing in this game, because it makes
disincentivizes.
Yes, thank you. Disincentivizes exploration. Like it makes it less of a driving factor in a game that is all about exploration.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just constantly going back to the bonfire. Because I'm down to half health. Like I need to make sure that I'm like all usually like close to the max of that, because otherwise it's just impossible.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing you could do, Jamie, is you could spec into health, and then even if you're at half health, you'd have more health. You know,
that's true.
The other crazy thing is, though. Sorry to interrupt here quickly.
That's okay.
One of the things that I've noticed, Jeff, that you've repeated on past podcast or in past conversations is just like, it's more enemies. Like, the difference between Dark Souls 1 and 2 is like, it's, hey, how about one enemy? No, how about three or five of
Pretty
them
much.
In this game?
There are some boss fights in this game, because this is not going to be a spoiler for you, Jamie, but it's literally the same boss fight, except where there were two, there are now four.
Yeah. Or, you know, in certain instances of the game, like, you'll run into, it's like, oh, one enemy, I've fought them for a while, okay, now it's three of them. Not even bosses, like, it's just that becomes really overwhelming. And you even had a taste of that, like with the climbing up the ladder in the Titan, the Force of the Giants and whatnot, like that big kind of like shocking moment.
I also think the Forest of the Giants is probably one of the most frustrating areas in the game that I've encountered so far. Jamie, I died more there than anywhere else. Right. I've played almost all the stuff you've played, Griffin, and I died more in the Forest of the Giants than I died anywhere else.
Okay, well, I think that's just a matter of our play styles and whatnot. Could be.
But just know, Jamie, that I had a terrible time there, and I was like... I was like, not to the point of quitting, but I was really mad at the game, and I was like, they're making horrible choices and I don't like this.
Jamie,
then after I beat it, I felt better.
I have a are you summoning people into your game at all?
No.
You should.
What, how do you even do that? I see those things on the ground. It's like, you want to summon someone? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, nope.
Well, there's the red claw marks that are messages left, and you know, they're helpful in their own right, but there's like these shining gold or silver little scrawlings on the ground that you can go and, like you said, you go to and you click on it and you it'll say, yeah, like, do you want to invite this phantom into your world? And it'll be some, it'd be like phantom, you know, hot biff 97. And you're like, oh boy, okay. And you invite him into
there. You have to be fully human to do it, Jamie. So you have to have used a human effigy and gotten to human again. Yeah. And then when you click one, it'll ask if you want to summon, and you say yes, and it should. It might not always work, because I don't think the netcode is that great, but if you get them in, they can help you. They can make it easier for you.
Is it a real person?
Yes.
It is, and that's why you guys tease me about this, but I think it's a multiplayer game, and some of the most fun parts I've had in this game are when I summon a human into my game and they like lead me around the world and they use the shitty little gestures to like tell me what to do and what not to do. And we have this little like narrative moment where it's like, oh, this is like an MMO that controls like a Nintendo game. And
well, I was going to say, the one problem with the NPCs, or not the NPCs, with the people you summon, though, is sometimes you'll summon them, and then they'll just curb stomp that boss that you've been having a hard time with, and well, you're like, oh, like, I didn't learn anything.
That's only if you let them into that area.
That's true. But I think that it's kind of a fine line, and I personally worry about crossing it. I've never summoned at all in the entire game.
Right, well, that's you're good, and you have pride, and I am just going along the line. I want to experience this game. I don't need to dominate it. So.
That's true. Think of it, Jamie, kind of like a super guide mode that doesn't always work.
Like Luigi?
No, Jamie, it's exactly like an MMO. Like you can play an MMO, and if you find the right person who's going to lead you on to the low-level areas, and they just immediately kill the boss for you, that's not fun. But if you find somebody who like brings you on the journey and is like, hey, don't go in here because this is going to kill you right away, but like... let's fight this guy together. I'll just heal you while you fight him. Or like, let's go to the Defias, whatever, and you kill Van Cleef, and I'll just kind of take out the extra mobs. Like, it's super fun if you find the right person. And so far, I've always had a really good experience.
That's gotcha. Awesome, Griffin. I wonder if that's less good on PC because Master Race and like those types of people, you know.
Well, it's hard to say since, you know, nobody has any experience with that. I think that people that are playing Dark Souls are probably good people. There's enough opportunity to be an asshole in that game through the game systems itself. So if you choose a route that says, I want to help people, then you're probably going to be the kind of person that actually wants to help people. You're not going to be the person that's going to be a troll and an a-hole. And even if it is, you can just kick him.
Also, Jamie, there are NPC summon signs as well, which I think are a different color, right, Griffin?
No, they're not.
Oh, okay. Well, there are NPC summon signs, which will be like people with proper names that are actual characters in the game that you can run into.
Gotcha.
And if you don't want to have a human ally and you want to have someone who's like going to kind of help a little bit but isn't like that strong, then you can summon them too. They're another option. Like if you want to kind of scale up, if you want to maybe start with an NPC and then move up to like
an
actual human.
Yeah. So, I, Jamie, I really highly suggest just summon some people because it totally changes my game. Hello, Jen.
Hi.
Hey.
Jen, you're
special
on the podcast.
Jen.
Thanks for bringing me more Pinot Grigio.
Not very much.
That's okay. Thank you. Hello.
Hi.
Jen helping her husband get plastered on a Thursday night.
Glug, glug, glug.
What will Griffin do next?
I'm going to buy an Xbox One right now. I dare you to tell me to not do it.
Jeff, your picture of the price of the Xbox One at the Rent-A-Center was despicable.
Oh, my God.
So just for the listeners, I'm going to explain it. So I went to Rent-A-Center with a friend, and I happened to look over at the consoles, and I was wondering how much Rent-A-Center charges for consoles. And I looked over, and I saw $34.99 weekly price, and I was like, "Oh, that doesn't seem so bad."
No,
but then I looked at the number of payments, new payments for a grant. So, okay, so here's what you get in the package. Everyone in the world, you get an Xbox One COD Ghost bundle, which I think is just Xbox One with Call of Duty Ghosts, a Kinect sensor. which apparently they didn't think was included.
Tell me more.
And a Forza 5 game for a total rental purchase cost of $2,169.38.
What? I thought it was only the 1300.
No.
Whoa. That's a cash if you buy it all in one sum now.
Yeah, if you buy it now, you could pay a mere $1,084.70.
Or you can saunter on over to the Walmart and get it for $500.
Holy shit.
You can get all of this for $500 because you can get the Xbox for $450 if you play your cards right. Also, the best part about this whole deal is that it's used. it's been rented out before and repoed. Mm-hmm. And then refurbished, quote unquote.
Rent-A-Center, I trusted you. You had Hollywood Hulk Hogan in your commercials. Just as despicable as the rest of them.
Very sad. Very, very sad. That's my Rent-A-Center story, guys. Don't ever go there. Jesus Christ. So, Dark Souls 2. I was going to say a couple things. So I already said that...
Jamie, play it.
Yeah, Jamie, you should definitely play it.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to summon some people, Griff.
Do it.
I'm gonna,
oh my gosh, yes.
I think that you and I have more MMO experience. I know what you're talking about. I feel like for Jeff, it might be a little like, do that.
The funny thing is I had that experience playing Journey. I had the best part.
What? Oh, okay, sorry.
What?
No,
I'm with you, Jeff. I'm with you.
I had the best partner ever for that game.
So did I. I had amazing partners for that game.
It was like I had only one partner for the entire game, and it was the perfect partner.
Oh, that's awesome. I was thinking more of like, I can't figure out how to solve this puzzle, and then you summon somebody, and they're like, oh, just jump.
No. I had one partner for the whole game, Griffin, that we just went on the experience together, and we co-learned. It was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to see the other person like trying out different stuff at the same time. Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah, it was really wonderful.
When you said Journey, I thought you, for some reason in my mind, I was thinking The Longest Journey. And I was like, how did he play that with someone else?
No. Okay, so Dark Souls 2. Linear areas, very kind of, they're pretty, but they're a little bit more hallway-ish than the first game. And also, I think also, they're just very, like, it's very distinct. Like, there are four areas. With like one or two connections between them.
Yeah.
There are just four areas.
There's a lot of cul-de-sacs in this game.
Yes, there are, which is depressing because the first game was very interconnected, like a complex spider web. And this one is more just like go down that hallway to the very end, which kind of sucks. But it's more like Demon's Souls, I think, than Dark Souls. Mm. But anyway, so that's one thing. Griffin already covered the groups is kind of a bummer. They definitely just keep throwing them at you. There are some bosses a little bit later on from the in second, third, and fourth areas where they will just have like 30 minions coming at you and you're like, why are you doing this to me?
I do want to say something really quickly about that, and that is after I finish those fights and I give it a day to rest, and I think back on it and I'm like, dude, if that was just two dudes, that would have been a freaking joke. Like, the fact that it was five, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I surmounted those odds. It was exciting. Like, it was a war of attrition. It was really intense. Yeah. And if it was just two dudes, what would that fight even be like? It would be just like a regular enemy encounter. So,
I think that kind
of speaks.
I hate them.
I think it's lazy, yeah. But I think
exactly.
It's actually kind of like.
Necessary.
Maybe not necessary, but it feels good afterwards to do it.
Well, I think it kind of speaks to the kind of the weakness of the boss design in this game relative to the first game. There've mm-hmm. been like a lot of duds. Like there have been bosses that I've killed without taking hits. There have been bosses that I've killed in like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of bosses, but the creativity is not where it was. And even on the bosses where they do display some interesting concepts, they're just so painfully easy that you're like, why did this happen? So that's kind of a bummer. There have been a couple really great bosses. I fought a really fun boss called Freya, which doesn't tell you anything, Jamie, that I really enjoyed. I thought it was a really nice conceptual boss. Interesting art, interesting kind of design of what it was, interesting moveset. But on the whole, I've fought a lot of kind of clunkers that I'm just less than impressed by, which kind of sucks. But it's overall really been a fantastic game. That 60 frames feels pretty good.
Mm. Yeah, it looks really good.
It does. Yeah, it's been good. I've been having a great time, and I'm still pretty addicted. I'm gonna finish it up soon, hopefully.
Yep.
But yeah, that pretty much covers me. That's what I've been playing.
Well, hey, I've been playing Dang Old Grandpa.
Dagger Canvas.
Dagger Canvas.
Doggone Rambo.
Damage Reaper.
Oh, no.
Damage Reaper?
Too soon. Too far.
So I've been playing some Dang Old Rampa. And
how you liking Dangle Raspberries?
Dingleberry Grandpa is pretty good. I'm on the third murder.
Remind me, Griffin, remind me with like a theme of the trial so I can remember what the third murder is.
Double murder.
Oh, that trial's fun.
Yeah. So I'm at that point. I kind of chip away at it a little bit every night. Like, I'll play a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And then, like, once it really hooks me, I'm like, okay, nothing else. I'll play this for, like, an hour or two and then really get into it. But they have played a card recently that has made it feel more VLR. And
I'm kind of... Yeah,
that has me hooked. They've done something that has made me really excited in continuing the narrative of this game.
So I'm thinking... Yeah.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I'm thinking that it's not going to have maybe exactly what you were looking for, in which is like just constant mindfuckery and science stuff. But it definitely does have some hooks. But you go ahead and keep talking.
Well, they've done it. Like, I'm in now, for sure. Not going to stop playing.
Awesome.
Well, I never was before, but now there's no regrets. Like,
yeah, okay.
It's not just spite you; it's to continue to play this game because it is pretty rad. The trial, like I said, the first time I played it, the trials are great. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time talking about stuff we already talked about. So, this game, Dangon Rampa, is fun. Some of the struggling points that I had before, which is like, the finding the evidence and the doing the point and clicky crap, like, there are enough tools in the game to lead you to what to do next.
They're
just not as overt as something that is like a Western or has good design would have. But they are there. They're there, definitely.
Yeah, they're out there. They're
and
out there.
The characters are, I wouldn't say interesting, but they're not interesting. They're dumb characters. They're horrible characters.
but in a charmingly horrible way.
Yeah. Charmingly horrible, and also, like, they are the anime tropes, but with just slightest little twist.
I think they're like self-aware tropes.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And I think I really like Monokuma. Has Monokuma grown on you yet, Griffin?
Nope. I think he is the worst, most flat piece of shit ever.
Screw off.
No, he's not a character. What are you talking about?
He's great. I love Monokuma.
No, he's not a character. He's a plot device.
I disagree.
No, the rabbit from VLR is a bigger character than Monokuma.
Monokuma is, I mean, maybe he's only one note. He's like Madcap, but he's fun. I like him a lot.
No. The only thing good about Monokuma is his music.
His music is great. That game has some good music in it.
It does, yeah. It's that one song that plays when he's on screen and somebody dies. Like, it's a really great, like oompa-pa kind of bizarrely Japanese version of like a German folk song or something, but it's like delightfully stupid.
Are you talking about the one that features the dude? He's like, yo, no. That one?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Some good songs in that game.
But I don't even think Monokuma is a character. Like, right now he is a plot device. Like, he's a driving force. He's not a thing. I don't agree. By late game he'll actually have a character to him, but right now there's nothing there.
Okay, that's fair.
A million times weaker than any character in VLR. All right,
that's fair. I liked Monokuma a lot. Thought he was really entertaining.
Entertaining, sure. You know, in the same way that like a flashing neon billboard is.
He's not like a character. Like he's not like a character in. He's just basically a Joker type character, but he's entertaining.
Hmm.
I don't know. I like him.
No, I thought there'd be more. Maybe that's my problem. Is you built him up saying like he has a lot of depth and like he's.
Oh no, he, no, I he's not like.
He showcases the difference between, you know.
No, he just his main
lightheartedness
hook is,
and death.
Maybe you took a different meaning from him than I intended for you to. It sounds like you were expecting a lot more from him than he delivered.
I think so.
He's more just like fun.
He's a game show host. It's stupid.
He's a great game show host, though.
No, he's not.
All right. Okay. Yeah, whatever. That's fine. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're liking the game, Griffin.
There are other characters in that game who are more interesting than Monokuma, I think.
Like who?
Like Genocide Jack.
Oh, yes. Genocide Jack. I thought you would like Genocide Jack.
Yep.
I didn't want to tell you about it, though.
No, thank you. Yeah, that's a great character, as well as super Japanese guy, affluent guy that nobody in the West will relate to.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
He's a good character. Totally obvious lady character is good. And then, of course... the 2D, 3D,
Fumi
or whatever.
I like him. Yeah,
yeah. It's a good. He is the Disgaea of characters.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he is a pun, a layered pun for video game fanatics to just dig into and enjoy.
Yeah, no, he's there just for everyone's entertainment, pretty
much. Mm-hmm.
But he's great. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you pictures of him when I started playing because I really enjoyed him. It's the students. None of them are intended. I mean, you know, you've got 16 students, so obviously, just necessarily, you can't develop them all.
Well, they all get whittled down pretty quickly, which is what has surprised me.
Yeah, it doesn't waste time. Now, do you see how I managed to finish the game in a reasonable time period?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with VLR, though, why I like that game more still is because,
So VLR has characters,
yeah.
Like real characters, characters with a C in front of it. This game has,
italic characters.
I don't know. It has some kind of different form of characters that are not like, they're not like.
Well, I think this game has caricatures, is what I always say about Japanese games. There are caricatures where it's like, well, this guy is afraid of ghosts, and that's his thing. Like, that was terribly mistranslated, wasn't it? Yes, of course.
But they're caricatures that are, for the most part, played really well.
They are,
They're not obnoxious, and it's fun.
It's
fun. I had a lot of fun.
It's a fun game.
With the jokes and the humor, and... I was amused. Yeah. I put a smile on my face.
Yep. It's amusing. It's silly. It's fun. Everybody's a goober. But like I said before, it's VLR is more intense, more intelligent storytelling.
That's fair.
It's like the end of Trigun, where this is like the beginning of Trigun.
I like the end and the beginning of Trigun.
I do too! And that's why I'm still playing Dang Old Grandpa.
Good. I'm glad. Jamie, say something.
As an outsider, that was an extremely tense conversation that you guys just had.
Really? I didn't view it that way. Did you, Griffin?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I think we're in the same wavelength. It's just...
Yeah. We're just parsing it out, really, honestly. Okay. We're like trying to understand each other's meanings. And in fact, I think we're in a very similar place.
And I think that, we still love each other. But we're going to live in different places right now.
Mommy and Daddy care about each other very much.
Is it my fault?
Yes.
No,
it's not your fault.
No, it is.
No, it's
his fault. Okay. We never should have had him.
You ruined everything.
That conversation to me was Jeff going, "I like this guy," and Griffin just going, "Nope."
Well, that did happen, to be fair.
Well, that's because Monokuma's not an interesting character.
He's not interesting in the sense of, like, interesting. But he's fun. He's real fun. I had fun with him.
Monokuma is much of a character as Tingle is a character.
Oh, I love Tingle. A great character.
I'm actually kind of more interested in playing Virtue's Last Reward after this conversation than I am in playing Danganronpa, because it sounds like VLR might be a better introduction to this type of game, because I feel like from what you guys were just describing, this game sounds more like a meta kind of experience, more for people who are already fans of this type of game.
Maybe. I think it's more of like a yummy snack, and VLR is more like a main course.
Okay. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. I think, just to phrase it differently, I think it's, in terms of gameplay, you'll appreciate Danganronpa a little more after playing VLR, because VLR is kind of weak in the play department. Like, it's very much visual novel, like very heavy in the storytelling, button through everything, puzzle, more story, puzzle, story. And this game is more like, it has more of the gameplay elements where it's like, oh, go do something. Like, you feel like you have more agency, but you really don't. But it at least feels like you do. And then VLR is a more intense storytelling experience, where this is more of like a lighthearted kind of like battle royale meets.
Though the stakes and both are kind of similar in terms of life or death, I agree with Griffin's assessment.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But they're both great games. I mean, you're not going to go wrong with either one, but they definitely have a different feel to them. And mm-hmm. I think that the 999 or Virtual's Last Rewards series in general feels more meaty, maybe. Just more like a really like more like mature whatever, but they're both great. I like them both.
I really wish I would have downloaded it when it was free on PS Plus, but I did not.
That's very unfortunate.
Yes.
It's a great game. You should play it.
You should. Well, that covers everything that we've been playing, right?
It's 2 hours later.
Yeah. 2015. Hello, Mother's Day.
To go through. There's so much news.
We can knock this out quick here. Let's snipe out the easy ones. So in the last whatever time it had been, a Nintendo announcement was made in the form of I think there's a Nintendo Direct from Mario Kart or whatever, and then there was some other Nintendo announcements, and then this weird Nintendo announcement through Mega 64. Yeah. So, Jeff, you probably have the most
to say about Nintendo.
Well, yeah, and to just summarize quickly here, your feelings on this stuff, because I'll be right back. You want to take this away for a little bit for a Nintendo talk?
Yeah, I think Jamie and I can get into that.
Can I first ask you a question, Jeff?
Yes.
Was there a second Mega 64 video besides the one with Reggie?
No, with the Fusa Mech? No, that's the only one.
Okay, that's okay.
It's a great video. They should have done one about how badly the Wii U is selling.
Yes, they should have.
Featuring the Satoru Iwata Mech that just bowed.
So walk me through all the news, because I think I got most of it, but I'm not sure.
I'm just going to kind of combine it and leave out stuff that's not vital. The basic gist of things is, okay, so I'm going to kind of start out saying that earlier on, you know, some weeks ago, Nintendo revealed their E3 plans. They're going to keep doing the digital thing rather than having a stage presence, which is odd. I don't think that their Direct last year was a huge success for them. And I think it kind of projects the image that they're not really... To me, I see that as like kind of a show of weakness, that they're not really confident with what they have. I'm not really sure how to view it, to be honest. It could be them kind of doing like a Blue Ocean thing, or it could be them just being like, well, why bother with a stage show when it's not going to produce much? So there's that. whole bunch of trademarks popped up, which we can talk about in a little bit. But going along with this digital event, they announced like a massive loss. Like I think it was on the order of like $250 million in net revenue or in net loss, essentially. And they've sold 6.17 Wii U's to date, which is less than the PS4. They're estimating another 3.6 million for next year, which I believe at their loftiest goal, they were estimating 12 million Wii U for 2013. They revised it. They revised it down to 9. That didn't come to pass either.
Oh my God.
In the last quarter, they sold 317,000 Wii U's. So it's looking real bad.
It's really screeching to a halt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real bad. So that's looking real dead. And it's sad. I mean, it's sad that they've fallen so far, I guess. I don't know what it means for them. They also, there's just so much to say about them, but, because there's so much going on that they've announced, like they announced all these new ventures. Like you, Jamie, were telling me they're going to build new consoles for emerging markets. They're throwing their hat. They're third to the NFC race. Gonna make some NFC Marios, which really like it makes me feel confused inside, because on the one hand I don't really like the concept, but it's also Nintendo, so I have to buy it.
Yes, you have to buy all the NFC toys.
It's the rules. I have to have them all.
So sad.
They had a great slide that people were making fun of, where they were talking about how NFC games were going to be compatible, or NFC figurines were going to be compatible with multiple games. And the games were Game A, Game B, and Game C. And someone was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to try Game C.
Oh my God. Is this what they meant by non-wearable? You can't wear your action figures.
I hope so. I'm not sure how this enhances quality of life, though. I'm really interested, you know, there's so much to talk about with them that we could talk about. I think we could spend a zillion years talking about it, but maybe that's not wise. But I wanted to talk a little bit about this console thing that you dug up. Do you know anything more about it, Jamie?
All I know is that along with this announcement, they said that they can't charge the traditional $50 or $60 for games in emerging markets. And instead of... I mean, this is how they plan to address that fact. They plan to fracture their production
even further.
Yep.
Because they weren't strapped to begin with.
Yep. Which really makes no sense. And it's like, and they specifically cited $30 to $40.
Which still won't sell.
Yeah, I'm just so confused by like what they're thinking. I read somewhere that they were intrigued by the lifting of the console ban in China.
That's what I heard too, yeah.
And so they see that as, I don't know, the next...
It's funny because Microsoft announced that they'll be selling the Xbox One in China. And I wonder if they're trying to compete with Microsoft, but they shouldn't, because that's not going to sell either.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, I read a thing by American McGee, which is the guy who makes those Alice games. He lives in China, and he was like, "You can get an Xbox One on the black market right now, and people do that all the time."
Yeah.
So I feel like they're just fighting a losing battle.
Oh yeah, I just don't understand how they. I'm literally speechless thinking about what they must be thinking. So they're going to put out like a cheaper console in China. Let's say if they're targeting like $30 to $40 games instead of $50 to $60 games, maybe we can assume this new console, whatever it will be $150, $200.
Maybe. I wonder if this is like their way of saying that this is the new Nintendo and expect this in like, maybe this is their way of demoing something that they might try in like the quote unquote main territories to be like a total like ethnocentrist. But I wonder if this is like their way of like pivoting without actually committing.
So you think that you mean they might be testing out a Wii U successor?
I think they might be testing out a new direction for the company. Because even the 3DS, which has been selling well, I would say its numbers aren't great, and it's losing, it's dropping publishers like flies. Like, who puts games on that thing? Nintendo?
That's true.
And Capcom sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, Square Enix, I guess.
I remember we were talking a few, you know, weeks ago about how for the original DS, you would go to the store and you'd see just tons and tons of games from a huge variety of developers for that thing.
Imagine babies.
Imagine babies. And,
and every night I imagine babies.
Oh my God. And there's like now there's nothing for it. So that's very interesting. So you think that like they're, so what is the new strategy? They're just they're still going consoles because they also said that we're not going mobile because we've had a console centric business plan for the duration of our existence and we're not going to change that.
Which they keep announcing after every new thing they do. Like, we're not going mobile, guys.
Don't worry about it.
Nintendo Phone announced at E3.
But I'm really depressed about this because I think this is probably what was being rumored. The rumors were flying about new hardware, blah, blah, blah.
That Fusion thing?
Yeah, that Fusion thing. Who knows what that is? And I was kind of – I mean, it would be smart for them to ditch the Wii U and go in a completely new direction. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're sticking with their guns with the Wii U, which is a terrible decision, and they're just going to do this other thing.
I don't know. It's Nintendo, and you never know what the hell they're going to do. But I can't rationalize what they're doing in these emerging markets as anything other than testing out a new business strategy, focusing on lower cost consoles.
Do you think that it's going to be a Wii U with some functionality taken out?
I don't.
You think it'll be a completely new thing?
They said new consoles with new games. Why would they, like, this is like another ethnocentrist remark, but like, why would they do that? Like, these emerging markets, they're not big revenue generators. Why would they put so much R&D into them?
And they don't have the history with your games that the U.S. and Japan has.
Exactly. It's like, they don't know Mario. They don't know Zelda, you know?
Exactly.
You're fighting a battle against Angry Birds.
And when you make these new games, like, are you going to put them out here as well, or how's that going to work?
Well, that's what I'm really wondering. And again, it's just so hard to tell with them. And they've been behaving so strangely in the wake of these poor sales. And either they've got reefer madness over there, or they're just like, tear it all down and let's do horrible things, or they've got some weird phantom strategy going on.
It just doesn't make sense to me to fragment your consoles and your production line and separate games for different people. I mean, if you want to put out a Wii U that can't go online and maybe comes with a crappier gamepad, that's fine. If you want to make $30 or $40 games for that can be played on that system as well as everyone else's Wii U, that's fine too. But it really doesn't make any sense to me to split your business in two when you're having trouble even making enough games for your existing console.
Well, that's why I think, and remember this, when the DS came out, for a long time, the Game Boy line was like still supposed to be a thing. Like the Game Boy line was never really like officially abandoned. So this is why I'm just wondering if this is their way of trying something new for the company as a whole, if they're going to stay in the video games business. And I don't know. I think we're just gonna have to wait and see if they talk about it at E3. But I don't even know if that's something they would talk. Like, I don't know. It's so hard to tell what the hell they're thinking.
I'm kind of thinking that maybe that we'll get like a Wii U refresh with a lower price point, maybe a different look, maybe a different gamepad. I don't know.
Apparently, it's not unprofitable to make and sell anymore at the price point they have right now.
Well, that's good,
I guess.
I figure that they're gonna. So they're making this NFC game. They have some other things coming out. They've got Mario Kart 8, whatever. I feel like it would be smart for them to refresh the console and make it a little more desirable in some way.
That makes sense, Jamie. They might do a new gamepad, maybe. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
and release a new Wii U, like the same Wii U with the new gamepad, or buy the gamepad on its own. I think the NFC was like, in case of emergency, break glass for a quick, you know, $300 million or something like that.
About the NFC stuff, though, I'm assuming you guys talked about that.
Just for like 2 seconds.
Okay. You talked about how in their investor meeting or whatever that was brought up.
Yes.
Okay. I've been thinking about this all day, and Jeff, both of you guys, I said this, I really don't know how they're going to go. And that's because I think, what people want from if you compare it to Skylanders or Disney Infinity, like, you can't have that game. Because what makes it so appealing with those games is the figures. So, what's so appealing about, the Pokemon games is, you know, you buy your Pokemon and then, or you get your Pokemon and then they like evolve into better Pokemons. So how do you make that into like a toy? Like if you buy a Fennekin, how do you buy a Fennekin toy that then turns into a
another one? Well, I don't think they're
bigger Fennekin.
I don't think they've gone there yet. I mean, they did that with the Battle Rumble series, which is like a lesser Pokemon series.
Yeah.
But I think the focus is going to be on, you know, other Nintendo characters like Mario, Zelda, you know, yeah. Link, Princess and stuff.
But
go ahead, Griffin, sorry.
What I think is so iconic about, like, Nintendo characters is, like, their evolution within themselves. So, like, you know, it's like, oh, Mario! Okay, Mario has a fire flower. Now he turns into Fire Mario. Or he gets a Radish, and now he turns into Flying Mario. Or he gets a cape, and he turns into other Flying Mario or whatever. And you can't turn that into you can't make that reflect in your character on your toy. Mm.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do something more along the vein of like a full experience or like a kind of me-ish experience. They've got like, there's two versions of Nintendo.
The only answer that I really see is if you want to follow that same route is like, and this is just my conjecture as being a Skylanders fan and all that. It's like, you know, I can't go out and I can't buy a Squirtle and then I can't expect my Squirtle toy to turn into a Blastoise.
Yeah.
But what I can do is I can buy like the Evolution line of toys that are all on one beautiful base that have like the Squirtle, War Turtles, you know, Blastoise, beautiful characters and one gorgeous, you know, molded plastic thing. So I put that on the base, then I have all of them in real life, but then I have all of them in the game too. So it's like, okay, so I put that down and it's like, oh, I'm only playing with Squirtle right now. So it's like, you know, I have all of them at the moment. I know what I'm getting into with this toy.
See, yeah.
But in the game, I can see the beginning and the end of those characters both in the game and in my toy.
Well, see, what I think, just kind of taking, kind of theorizing about what they're going to do in a different direction, I think I see the big kind of selling point of Nintendo's approach, other than the fact that the characters are iconic, is that they're going to be interoperable with multiple titles. Is that how Skylanders works?
Nope.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of the big piece that's different. I think that they're, and they've even called it a platform rather than like figures, so it's the near field platform. And I think that the thought process is you'll buy like your Mario, and then Mario is good for a lot of different titles, and Mario will do different things in different titles. And if you put Mario in one title, you can upload stuff from that title into Mario, and then he can go to other titles that might be developed in the future, and that'll do things, you know.
Yeah, but I think that puts a lot more strain on a company than actually just making a bunch of different character models, character toys.
It's less immediately profitable. But Nintendo always kind of strives to, whenever there's something that like people cry foul and call scummy, I feel like when Nintendo does it, they want to try to make it look like they're not being scummy, even if they are. So they're like, oh, but we're not going to do, you know, multiple versions of those figures, at least not right now.
Right.
We're going to make it so you can use them in different games. So we're not scummy, we promise.
But I think, like, more so than any company, you would want your Nintendo characters to be able to turn into different, like...
Yeah,
like, no, I hear like, you. I got a Goomba, but now I don't want to, like, it's like the Star Wars toy phenomenon. Like, you're like, I got a stormtrooper, but now I got to buy 10 of them, and then I have to buy the snow troopers and the speeder bike troopers, like, and I got to buy a bunch of them each. Like, it's not like you have, like, one clone trooper guy with a bunch of different outfits. It's like, you're like, I buy this one character, and then I got to buy the next one character, and, like, they're so ubiquitous within this franchise that, like, each permutation of it is just kind of like a little tweak on the design, but it's not a real huge change. And I that's what I'm worried about with, like, that versus, like, Skylanders, because they're starting from point zero, and they're like, oh, this guy, he just has a gun with a hook in it, and isn't that awesome? Like, play as him forever. And you're like, oh, well, okay, maybe I will. He doesn't evolve into a guy with two hooks in his gun.
Griffin, as you're just to help you understand what Nintendo fans are like, as you're talking, you're making wonderful points, but I'm just, like, developing this, like, existential panic over the fact that there probably will be, like, a Tingle figure, and I will need it. I will have to have it.
But
I don't want my Mario figure slutting it up in Game A and then taking it over to Game B and then putting his goods on display in Game C.
I think that's super cool, Jamie. I would love my Mario character to, like, if I have this one little, like, essentially memory card to swap between games as, like, my Mario, yeah, then I'm like, oh, this one has 99 lives on it, and this one only has 33. I think what's more appealing about Nintendo is, like, you're like, I have 8 different Marios, each one in a different clothing that looks cool in real life, and then when I put him into the game, that different clothing does different something. Like, with Skylanders, you can have one dude across 3 games, and, like, yes, they have some drawbacks, but you're still with your main base character. With, like, your Mario games, like, you want to see the evolution of Mario as well as your character Mario in real life. Like,
no, I understand the point, Griffin, and you've made it quite well. I just think that you are underestimating how, well, okay, the hardcore Nintendo fan base will gobble these things up.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I don't like figures. I like figures, but I don't like the concept of near field based games. But I have the itch. I have the thing that the heroin users get when they haven't done it in a while, and I need it.
Mm-hmm. You guys, they just released what Game A, Game B, and Game C are.
What's that?
So Game A is MLB 14, The Show.
Okay.
Game B is Super Mario Sunshine.
All right, good.
And Game C is Watch Dogs.
Is there a Tingle figure announced yet?
Which one has, like, Black Daisy in it?
Paper bag. Did you guys hear about Pink Gold Peach?
No.
She's the worst character of all time. It's one of the special awesome characters that they announced in the Mario Kart Direct. You get Pink Gold Peach and Baby Rosalina.
Ugh.
Makes me really sad.
Nintendo is also announcing their answer to the Oculus, which is 2 Mario NFC characters rubber banded together and placed over your eyes.
It's Shigeru Miyamoto letting you actually tap into his brain and see what he sees for, like, seconds. And then you'll be scarred for life afterwards.
He seems so much less present.
Yep.
Did he retire?
He's been wanting to kind of scale back and work on small stuff for a while.
Has he been working on anything?
Yeah, he's been working on stuff. He worked on 3D World. He worked on 3D Land.
Is there not a rumor going around too that he's up to something else lately?
Yeah, they have him working on Wii U gamepad experiences, I think.
Gotcha.
I believe. I mean, he's got a hand in everything. He's very powerful. Mm-hmm. But I think he's been wanting to kind of scale back. I think their goal has been to find, to get people thinking like him without him having to do it.
Yeah.
So he can go and work on small stuff and eventually retire.
Yeah.
But no one's said anything outright yet. So, but that's kind of, there's been a lot of comments that have kind of indicated as much. So,
yeah. I just see games like Smash Bros, and they announce, like, it's the intercontinental dimensional Super Warriors subplot for this, where you can run your guys through some shitty third person brawler level. And it's like, okay, well, now you buy the dry bones toy and you put it on the thing, you can play as that guy. Like, I think that is totally fine, but I think that's like the lowest hanging fruit of choices they can make.
I don't know. I think that it might be, I'm not sure that they're going to throw that in Smash, because they had a Smash Direct and they didn't touch on it. But if they are, you bet we'll hear about it at E3.
No,
so
they
we'll
did.
See.
They did. It was the 3DS version, right? Where it's like the arena run.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think they're going to put NFC stuff in there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like it's that kind of game design where it's like you make that kind of game where you throw in a character and it's just essentially like, what was that Capcom fan base game where you could play as a bunch of different garbage characters in a garbage world and run through like Mario 1-1 as Link.
Or are you
or something.
Saying that's what you think the near field games will be, basically?
That's what I'm worried because I feel like that's the easiest grab.
It could be. I mean, you know, I don't think Nintendo is necessarily a low hanging fruit type. Mm-hmm. They're just, when they do like kind of crappy games, I think they're weird, like Wii Music, for example.
Mm-hmm. Kid Icarus Uprising.
Life.
Tamagotchi Life is going to be amazing. I'm going to buy that game.
You're going to buy that screensaver?
I'm going to buy that screensaver. Okay. WarioWare, when it first came out, I was so suspicious. But this is the same team. So I have to have it. I don't have to have it, but I'm optimistic. I think it'll be good.
WarioWare is a game, and this is not a game.
It's you interact with it. You don't control it as directly, but I think it'll be good. Did it get a lukewarm reception in Japan?
No. I think most Japanese people are into it, but I think that it's not a lot of a game.
Well, I'll be giving you guys impressions when I buy it.
All right.
But yeah, we'll see what they do. It's bizarre, and I think it'll make them money almost certainly. I think there'll be positive cash flow based on the near field platform. Mm-hmm. For sure. I really do think it was kind of a case of emergency break glass situation. Like, okay, we're hemorrhaging money. Let's do near field.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Let's make toys we can put in games. That's great. I love it. I like toys you can put in games.
Yeah. I don't like them, but I'm probably going to buy them because Nintendo. Also, they cut the price. They kind of sort of cut the price again on the Wii U, because you can get a Mario Kart bundle for $330 with a free game.
Nice.
Yeah. How is that cheaper?
Because it comes with two games and it's $330. I guess it's actually not cheaper, is it? Because it's not. Okay, fine. So never mind. They didn't cut the price.
Nah.
When is Mario Kart 8 out?
May 30th, and I'm pretty excited for that game.
Advance Push.
I'm gonna play it with my lady.
You bought one of those?
What?
A real doll.
You bought a lady?
Yeah, I bought a lady. Yes, I did buy a real doll.
The best NFC.
Yeah, we could talk about this advanced push and advanced
stuff. What is that? But... Do you think that that's just either the NFC or the console for the emerging markets, or do you think it's something else?
It might be the NFC. I don't even know. There's probably not much to say here with that. I mean, it could be a million things. It could be nothing.
The next Nintendo console is Chobits.
I never saw Chobits.
It's
so
a Persicom. It's a human person robot that you can play games on.
Guys, there's going to be a Pokemon Art Academy game coming up for the 3DS. It looks pretty great.
Cool.
You can draw the Pokemon. Jessica's going to buy it. She's real excited about it.
Amazing.
I'm excited about it, too. Also, Ken Spacey's going to be in Call of Duty. Kevin Spacey's going to be in Call of Duty.
He goes by Ken.
Yes, he does. Is there any other Nintendo stuff we should talk about?
Do you guys touch on
Kevin
their numbers?
Spacey. Kevin Spacey's near field toy is going to be the best.
I'll just mention that it's probably going to be a Pokemon Fighter game at E3. I don't really care at all. It's dumb.
They're remaking those rubies and those sapphires.
Oh, yeah, that. I'm excited about that.
Stupid.
Non-mega fans would not understand.
Dumb.
Just like parents. Parents just don't understand.
I'm totally unimpressed with this because I don't know what the draw of those games are and why you'd remake them.
Yeah, they are. They're not as important as mainline entries for sure. They're good. They're never quite as good as the mainline entries, but they're good.
Yeah.
Plus,
I hate that they're remaking the two games. Like, why not remake Emerald, the better of the two?
Because they want money.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
also, they tend to enhance them such that it would be irrelevant to remake Emerald anyway, because Emerald is mostly the same story, and they'll probably put essentially the Emerald story in there. That's basically what they did with Soul Silver, Heart Gold. They basically put the crystal content in.
Yep, and that's dumb.
They just want to have their two versions for extra monies.
Yeah.
So it's very predictable, and it won't bring much for people who aren't like hardcore fans. But yeah. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to see what they roll out. They had that cool pedometer with.
You just said that cool pedometer.
I did. It was fun. It was a neat little thing. It was a gizmo.
Plus, what was there not a fan translation of this, or like a fan remake that was redoing Sapphire and Ruby, like really intensely, like putting in like a day-night cycle and like really modding the shit out of this? And like,
I mean, people
in the
always...
last year, like they just really made some big strides in it, and now
maybe I mean, people are doing Pokemon ROM hacks all the time. That's like a thing that is very popular. But it'll be good. It won't be great, but it'll be good.
I just remember reading in the last like year that these people made great strides in making this game.
I'm sure they did, but the Pokemon ROM hacks are very common. Some of them are great. Some of them are. I haven't played more than maybe one, but they're not. I don't really care about them.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys touched quickly on the numbers, but if you didn't.
Stop yeah, we
stop me.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Okay, good.
Mostly, we just had big loss. Very few Wii U sold. They've already been outsold by the PS4, and right. A very low estimate for 2014.
Yep, totally. Yeah,
which sucks a lot.
Jamie, did you talk at all about the advance patent trademark?
We mentioned it. Okay. We didn't speculate as to what it might be. I just asked Jeff if he thought that was one of the things that we just discussed. But
I guess if I had to put my money on anything, I'd probably say the NFP thing or the NFC thing would be that.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
I honestly don't. Why would they call it push? I don't think it's the NFC thing, just for that reason. And because advance, that like they wouldn't just throw that term around, and I don't think that they'd apply it to their NFC thing.
Well, how about this for a theory? So push could be when data is uploaded onto your NFC figure. Touch could be when you interface with the NFC reader, and series could be the name of the first line.
Okay.
And the games could maybe involve Game Boy Advance or something. I don't know. I have no idea.
No, I think that makes sense.
Yeah. But I have no idea. What do you guys think?
I thought that they were going to, before I heard that the new hardware was going to be aimed at emerging markets, I was pretty sure that they were going to ditch either the 3DS or the Wii U or both and be like, hey, I got this new stuff. It's advanced. Did you remember that? You all loved that.
It could be. I at this point, nothing would surprise me. I just like, but and everything would.
I don't think that they're doing that because I don't think that Nintendo can take on more than one new hardware thing at a time.
Yeah.
So if they're making new hardware for emerging markets in 2015, we are stuck with the Wii U and the 3DS for at least 3 to 4 more years.
Interesting.
Griffin, did you hear my theory about how I think it's possible that the new hardware for emerging markets might be a way of testing out a new strategy altogether?
No.
Okay, that's my theory.
It's a good theory.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, that's super interesting. I totally off my radar. So
we shall see.
I don't think Nintendo is one to test. At this point, but
no, they
also,
don't really test.
What
they
can
just...
they lose? Like, they've done a lot of amazing things in the past, like the center stick on the 64, You know, the motion controls on the Wii U. So I don't think it's beyond their scope to try something that's off the beaten path. But I think right now, like, going for that above and beyond gold, like, it seems like there's not enough faith in Nintendo at the moment for them to try and do, like, there's not enough hype / faith in Nintendo to have them launch something crazy cool that people will glom onto.
Hmm. But then what do they do if that's the case? Just ride the wave into obscurity?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer as to what they're supposed to do. I'm sure they'll do something cool. At the very least, they can live another cycle of just making their games not shitty.
Which they'll keep doing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's going to be an important E3 for them, and they're going to have a 40-minute Nintendo Direct. It's probably not going to show very much.
So wait, Jeff, you were saying that they're literally not going to have a stage thing there?
Yep.
Yeah, like that last year. That was the major takeaway from that. I mean, I think I sent you had, you know, other stuff too, but yeah, they're not going to have a stage presence at all. They're not going to do a stage show again.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, if it's like last year, it's kind of weird. Like last year, they had a small, short, not press conference, like really early in the morning, where they invited a bunch of people to come in and play a bunch of games. And they're like, hey, Reggie's going to yell at you for 30 minutes instead of an hour and a half. And it's super awkward.
Also, it's on Ustream and nobody can watch it.
Yeah.
Womp, womp. Also, I think that stage shows are like inherently dumb. Like I like them a lot, but they're also like really stupid and a waste of money, and I'd be okay with them not doing a stage show. But I think given last year, I just don't know what to think.
No, I think the stage show is more important than ever right now. I think that it is being done to death in how widespread the video game like press conference is, where it's like, oh, gotta go to PAX, gotta go PAX 2, gotta go PAX 3, gotta go to our special event, gotta go to GDC, gotta go to MBB, gotta go to ba 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 bb ba 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 poop ba, and like you have to have a bazillion, you know, press conferences for each one. And you know, while I think the press conference for the E3 has gotten to be super awesome now, so I would love for them to keep doing it big and good like they've done in the last couple of years.
Well, I think my position is coming from a place of like not wanting unsustainable business. So I don't want them to blow a lot of money on that if it's bad. Like I could see it being like, if I were trimming the fat personally, I'd be like, okay, you can get rid of those. Even though I love them, they're great. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I don't really need them. You know, I'm fine with videos. That doesn't hurt what I love about this industry. But, I think that the real effects of them not having a stage show last year were people didn't really notice them.
Yeah.
And also it was just kind of like a better Nintendo Direct than usual.
Yeah, it was probably the best Nintendo Direct of last year because of everything they announced, even though it was really shitty.
Yeah, exactly.
But their content was there for sure.
Yeah.
But I would be so bummed out to hear that this is like the future. Like, yeah, stage shows are dumb, but they're also really cool. Like, remember in 2009 or 10 when Microsoft was like, "And we have the Beatles," and it was like, you know, Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney, and they'd be like, "We love the game. It's a great game." Hey,
why didn't they use holograms for John Lennon and George Harrison?
Give it another 10 years. They came up on stage. They didn't say Beatles Rock Band once. They just got out there and just talked, kind of fidgeted, said the game a lot, and then walked off. And then they're like, we also have Yoko Ono, and she's giving her blessing.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
That needs to continue. More celebrity cameos. Okay. I'm all done talking about Nintendo if you guys are.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk anymore about it, but I'm happy to. But we can move on to more important things.
Greninja is in Smash Bros.
I'm officially now predicting some sort of refresh for the Wii U.
That's a pretty good prediction, Jamie.
A Wii U Lite HD with MLB The Show and the new Tony Hawk game bundled in.
Makes total sense.
Also, E3 predictions.
Probably a Call of Duty game in there too.
Yeah.
Speaking of E3 predictions, Sony had a leak, maybe. DualShockers.
Did you guys talk about Call of Duty at all?
No.
Kevin Spacey
in it. It looks kind of good.
All right, that's fine. That's really all that needs to be said about that.
It's next gen. Next gen. Was it next gen first? Next gen only?
No, next gen first.
Okay.
Sledgehammer is doing the next gen games and then outsourcing, I think, definitely the old gen and then maybe the PC.
How great would it be if Bluepoint got this one too?
Yep.
Just localizing, or not localizing, but downporting rival shooter. That'd be really funny.
It'd be funny.
Anyway, I would enjoy it.
New Call of Duty game. Looks pretty rad. Not much has been said, but big bombastic trailer, Kevin Spacey jokes, whatever.
Hey, there's another little bit of news which comes right after that in our document, which I wanted to talk about briefly with you guys. Did you guys see the comments from Bill Gates?
No, not. I have no idea what this is about.
About so spinning Gates, off Xbox?
Yes. So Bill Gates was interviewed, and they asked him about it because there was a lot of rumors about people wanting Xbox gotten rid of, investors wanting it gotten rid of. That was kind of, people were on the record saying that. So that he was asked in like a Business Times interview or something. And he said he would be open for, he essentially said, like, we're looking at getting rid of stuff. But he said, here's what he said. He said, spinning off Xbox isn't as obvious as you'd think. Which to me is not exactly a ringing endorsement of it sticking around.
Exactly.
Well, isn't that like saying, like, if Sony execs said, like, hey, let's get rid of PlayStation, they're just bogging us down.
No, because it'd be like, PlayStation just made us $150 million last year.
But and instead, it's kind of like he's saying, well, I'd love to spin off PlayStation.
But it isn't that easy.
It isn't that easy, guys. Pump the brakes.
Okay, well, I take it more of like, this brand is tied in with our name at this moment. We can't get rid of it.
Well, they asked him about Xbox and something else. And for the other thing, like, he was more unequivocal. And for this one, he was like, well, it seems obvious, but hold on a second. but either way, afterwards, they asked, well, if Satya Nadella wants to do it, will you support him? And he said, of course. Which, you know, is, I guess, you know, a vote of confidence for the new CEO. But did that make anyone other than me like, oh shit? Was that like an oh?
No, I read it that way too. For sure. I think that most people probably would read it that way. I don't think they're going to spin it off, but the fact that he said it that way, it makes me.
It speaks to how they view Xbox over there.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Phil Spencer's in charge of it because I think he is pushing. He really wants that to be important, but it's not promising for how Microsoft sees that part of it itself. Yeah. That's all.
It shows that they think it's expendable.
Yeah.
Or at least not, it's not a core.
They don't see it as a pillar, yeah. I don't think
you guys see Microsoft as the enemy.
No, and, I love Microsoft.
I think you want them to die and be hanged for Japanese treason.
I love my PC Master Race, bro.
I think they should
but wouldn't it be better if it wasn't on the Microsoft platform?
I think it'd be better if they got into fighter jets and crashed and blew up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, I saw an Xbox being turned on recently, and I'm like, hey, the power-up for Xbox is great. Turns on really nicely.
For real? Yeah. Or are you joking?
I'm not joking.
Oh, okay, that's nice.
Turns on really nicely.
I'm so confused.
I was really enthralled with how an Xbox 360 turned on recently. It has a nice little boot screen.
Well, are you joking?
It's a nicer boot animation than in the PS3.
I'm so confused right now.
I'm not joking.
Well, if you're not loving Microsoft, then you're probably not going to love the new video that came out today for Sunset Overdrive. The Xbox One Insomniac game that was just shown. Trailers just came out. It looks pretty cool.
Can I just say two things? One, I'm not coming from a place of hating Microsoft there. But second thing, can you tell us about it? Because I don't think either of us saw it. Did you see it, Jamie?
No.
Okay.
Well, the Sunset Overdrive game was shown off in a CG trailer last E3 at the Microsoft press conference as being Insomniac's game that's, like, for the first time, not for a PlayStation device. So that was kind of a big deal. And the trailer kind of had, like, a Team Fortress aesthetic with, like, a big bombastic rock punk soundtrack and kind of like dudes shooting monsters. So they released a trailer with gameplay, and it it looked a lot like Infamous platforming, like a lot of sliding, grinding, traversing a world really quickly, sticking to grapple points and moving around them like you're jumping off a wire to another wire where you're grinding on your feet or you're grinding on like a hook on your arm that you're like riding down a rail, and then you're just shooting tons of monsters. Like, it reminds me a lot of Crackdown. And then it also has that like Insomniac Ratchet and Clank, like, oh, big dumb weapons that are really stupid and fun. Like, this is it's a firework gun that shoots little tiny fireworks out of it when you shoot them. And then they're like, there's upgrades, and it reminds, so to reduce it again, is like Infamous meets Dead Rising. So you have like big and Crackdown. So it's like traversal, big open area and world where it's just mobs of stupid, dumb monsters that you're killing in really cool, spectacular ways with really cool, fun weapons.
Yeah, and it has a style. Gorgeous, feature, right?
Yeah, look gorgeous. Like big colors, like bright ass. In your face, kind of like Mardi Gras colors, super fun. So I don't know, like it looks like kind of like Infamous Second Son, but like bigger and brighter and cooler.
Awesome. Griffin, I didn't see any media for it, but I read about it, and just what I read sounded a million times better than Fuse.
Oh yeah. Fuse was a shame.
It sounded really cool. It sounded like it was a game that had actual ideas happening. It sounded like they were shooting for more of like a Vanquish, like keep rushing forward feel, which instantly grabbed my attention.
Yeah,
like they in their like design doc, they were like anti cover, which I think is really cool.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I if I had an Xbox, I'd be really excited for that game.
Yeah, seems like a super cool game to have.
Sounds like people are like actually being creative, and it sounds like the people who are making it are passionate, which is always great. I feel like that tends to come through,
right? Especially because after like I feel like I was in the minority, but after that trailer was shown off for the Xbox One game, I was like, oh, ho-hum, CG trailer, nice. Who gives a crap? Like, it can be
anything.
Well, it
looks like Borderlands. Yeah. Because there's four dudes.
Yeah. Four dudes shooting stuff in a bright environment. Okay, so it's Team Fort meets Borderlands. Like, who gives a crap? But yeah. I think they've made really good on that trailer, and it seems really, really cool.
Howdy.
Awesome. I'm very excited.
I can tell.
Excuse me. I actually am really excited. I'm going to watch the trailer right after we're done with this podcast.
I'm excited too.
So are there other Microsoft news?
Not really.
Oh, hey, Japanese companies are not doing so well.
Yep. Shocking.
They both, Capcom has Monster Hunter, and they're doing all right with that, right? Or did they lose money?
I only quickly looked over this, and then it was like overrun by a 2012 or 13 forecast, so I was really confused. But I kind of had that same Nintendo vibe of, like, everything is slightly down, like, by a point or two of where it should be. Like, no huge losses, no flaming garbage fires. But just everybody's kind of like, okay.
I think what you see with these Japanese companies is they used to have a lot of, like, pillar franchises, but those pillars are gradually eroding, and they have one franchise that's still working for them. So you've got Capcom with Monster Hunter, which I think is working really well for them, and then Konami with Metal Gear, which is a great game, but not working very well for them.
Right. And then you have all their spin-offs that they're probably not utilizing as best they should.
Yeah, a lot of intellectual properties that they just haven't done great things with recently. Mm-hmm. You know, Capcom's just leaving Mega Man out to die.
Right.
Konami
just sparkster to the curb.
Konami being just batshit fucking insane. And company makes no sense.
Where's the next Ghosts and Ghouls, Goblins?
That's Capcom, right?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yep.
So, yeah, you know, Japanese companies being Japanese. And
where's the next Gradius?
Yes.
Vic Viper!
What shall we talk about next? There's a couple other things. There's Oculus. We can talk about that. It's a quick one.
Yeah, knock it out.
So the Oculus CEO made a hilarious remark where they said they wanted to make a 1 billion person MMO. You leveraging the power of Facebook.
Facebook?
Really?
And then
And then the guy said, think about it. Do we want to be the Game Boy or the iPhone?
Oh, God.
I was like, I'd rather you be the Game Boy, please.
More like the Lame Boy.
I really like the Game Boy. It's really sad that there are some Game Boy games that have more depth than most of the iOS catalog.
Yep.
Because that was a dot matrix system. And I have gained a lot of respect for mobile catalogs, but there's a lot of chaff in there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd rather have the Game Boy.
That's what my doctor told me after my rectal exam. There's a lot of chaff in there.
And a lot of wheat, too. Stop putting things in there. It's bad for you.
You don't tell me what to do.
Shut up, Dad, he said to him, because he was his father and he was investigating. That's a doctor.
Think about it.
Is there anything else other than the last little Sony bit that we missed out on, Griffin,
no,
Jamie?
I think that's good. We've covered it all.
Yeah. So there's another piece. Which is, there was this post, and, you know, we don't know what the veracity of the post is, so we probably shouldn't spend too long dissecting it. But somebody is claiming to have leaked all of Sony's E3 presser with some stuff that sounds moderately plausible, but it is a DualShocker story, so have your piles of salt ready. some notable things, Last of Us 2 possibly being shown.
Boo!
Project Beast, which is something that we haven't touched on yet. That looks like it's probably real.
Yep, probably real.
That'll be another, seems kind of soon, but it'll be another Souls-esque game. The fact that they're using the word beast, and some of the images, the world looks kind of Soulsian, but yep.
There's some fog doors in that game.
Yeah, but the character and the enemies look different, so I don't know if it will be a little. I think it'll be another kind of spiritual successor type thing where they take the gameplay in new directions. Yeah. They kind of evolve the franchise rather than just do the same thing again.
Less dudes in armor, more dudes on witch hunts.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. It's interesting that they're pushing ahead so fast. It's interesting that they're. I don't know when this thing's going to come out. Are they going to annualize Dark Souls? It's kind of strange, but...
Right. Plus, it's From Software, which was just purchased recently by another company.
Kanawaka Games. Yeah.
And it's From Software, who has a terrible track record besides Dark Souls and Demon's Souls.
Well, I mean, they're well-regarded for the Kingsfield? King's Quest?
Are they? Really?
Yeah, they're like stupid games, but people really like them at the time.
What about all of the Armored Core hot trash?
People love Armored Core.
Well, people love Dynasty Warriors too, and they're idiots.
I've never played Armored Core, so I can't comment. I know it got bad after a while.
It's always been bad, and they just struck gold with this. I'm just afraid that if they go off this, you know, this design that they already have, it's going to get too weird and too frummy for most people.
I loved the Armored Core that came out near the beginning of the PlayStation 2's life because it was so pretty. Like, I didn't care that the game was terrible. It's just like, these robots are pretty shiny.
For answer.
And I think Jamie, you're just drawn to giant robots.
I love shiny robots, giant robots.
It's the part of why Xenogears is so great.
Yep.
Giant robots. I don't know. I mean, it's supposed to be the A-team, you know, it's supposed to be the people who didn't really work on Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
The original director's back, so that's exciting. Uh-huh. It looks cool. I'm excited for something different. I hope it's not another Souls game, because I think we need time.
Right. And I hope it is another Souls game, because I don't want to play anything else from them, because I'm scared of it.
Well, I want it to be like, I want it to be similar, but maybe not too similar, I guess. I don't want it to just be like another carbon copy, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Even though none of the games have been the same, I'd like it to strike a slightly different chord than the other games.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
Dark Souls Dark Souls 2 feels a little bit too much Dark Souls 1.5.
And yes, I'm
kind of scared of, like, is it going to be Dark Souls 1.75, or will it be the next Dark Souls game?
I'm hoping it'll be more towards the realm of new and different, to the point that it feels substantial.
I hope so. Because
it's the original. It's, you know, presumably it's going to be the original people. I mean, we don't know anything for sure yet, but there's definitely been some convincing screens that suggest that there is a thing, PS4 exclusive. We'll see what develops with that. So that's a thing. Other noteworthy stuff that was on that document: Uncharted 4 might be Nathan Drake and Francis Drake, maybe. But that makes me a little suspicious, to be honest. But maybe. A lot of people speculating on Francis Drake being involved in that.
Yeah.
Do you remember anything else of note, Griffin?
Just in that they, like, nailed every single big game that everybody could care about.
While also being really
to Sony.
While also being kind of really boring and sequel heavy.
Yep.
Nothing in the way of, like, new IP, except for stuff that they didn't name. Which also is a little fishy, I think, in terms of assessing a rumor's quality, because you'd think they would generate a new title somewhere in the rumor, but everything that was a new IP was an unannounced title, which is weird.
The thing that struck me as odd in this whole rumor thing, which, again, is dumb to speculate on, but it was just the sheer volume of things that they talked about. And it's like, you know, if you're going to cite 10 new games that haven't been talked about in the last 5 years, like, that's a lot to bring on in a press conference, and then also say, Vita and Project Morpheus and PlayStation Now, each of those are going to take up a half hour, and then here's 10 new games that people have not heard a word about. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, remember, for some of these things, we might just be getting screens, like big old screens with a title card, you know?
Yeah, Wipeout. But I think they're
I'm
too...
I'm proud to announce Wipeout will be coming to PS4.
I think that's too big. Like, you save something like that. Like, you save... Like, your Wipeout is a press conference thing, but then you're like, oh, and Gran Turismo 6 Project 7 is coming to the PlayStation 4. Like, that's a big announcement.
GT6 coming to PS4 was what makes that rumor believable to me, though, because it's dumb. It's like, that game's been out for a year. Do I really want an upport of that game?
Yeah, I just think that you would be wasting a lot of stage time breath on something that takes a lot of explanation and selling.
Well, how much time will they waste? Again, you know, it's
like,
we don't usually
to me, that's not a sizzle reel. Like, you can't put things people don't know about in a sizzle reel. You got to put,
there
was more stuff on that document that was unknown than there was known.
They have to spend 5 minutes at least talking about the exclusive guns that you'll get in Wildstar on the PS4.
Right. Plus, yeah, that document said nothing about a lot of the things that we know are coming out. Like, there's no talk of Watch Dogs. There was no talk of that other Tom Clancy game from Ubisoft. There's no talk of Destiny.
Stuff might be relegated to individual conferences, though, because it's all multi-platform.
Yes, but it's also something that, like, Sony has done in the past by saying, like, and this is going to give you an exclusive hour and 32 minutes of playtime on the
PlayStation
4.
They love saying
4.
That stuff.
So,
yes, they do. Hacking boosts.
Again, I'm sorry. I shouldn't dwell on this, but
it's probably too soon to really get deep in it. I mean, it looks like Project Beast is a real thing that is happening. There was that picture which maybe hints at something happening with Last of Us sometime in the future, but who knows when. I'm of the opinion that game doesn't necessarily need a sequel, but I guess I'm open to it. You guys excited about the exclusive content for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare for the Xbox One?
Yeah.
I thought it was just coming first, and then eventually it'll get everywhere.
Well, not for 1 month or something, or like a week. I don't know. It's like
Zeitgeist
the
or die.
I think we might have gone through everything.
I think we did. We're 1 month away from E3 at this point, so. The craziness will only continue to keep happening. The rumors and speculation and NeoGAF garbage and crazy butts on trains will continue to keep spilling out as time goes on.
Well, has his account ban gone away yet? I guess he got a temp ban. I think crazy buttocks on a train is dead now. I think something's happened to him.
When you cut one crazy buttocks on a train's head off the train,
three
only
more butt
two
appear.
More money. so you know, don't rumors and speculation and whatnot. I think that next week the judges event is happening, so that's when some stuff gets laid down in stone, and then only some more surprises come after that. I think that I think more excited about Ubisoft and EA's stuff than I have been in the past this year.
Why?
Well, because I'm excited for a Star Wars game from EA, and because what does Ubisoft have? Like, another Assassin's Creed? Okay, sure, that's been good before, and what else? Like, I want to see, they usually bring some good things to the table, so I'm pretty
pumped. The crew will be there.
Maybe.
The Division will be there.
I'm always excited for Ubisoft because it's always a hot mess. But
we're the ones who had Mr. Caffeine.
Where is this? Yeah.
Okay. I like
Mr.
Who's the
Mr.
Lady?
Caffeine's
who's the lady?
My father.
Who's the lady?
Call me Caffeine.
Who's the lady who's been hosting? Aisha Tyler.
Yeah,
I like her. She's good.
I'm one thing we didn't talk about that I'm Griff was saying what he's really excited about. I'm really excited to hear what Epic has to say about the next Unreal tournament, which is going to be developed with fan input and is going to be completely free, not free to play, not free with extras, just completely free.
That's crazy, Don. How is that happening?
I don't know, but they're going to make it. They're going to put it out on every system. And it's going to be completely free.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seems cool. I've heard that rumor as well.
No, it's not a rumor. It's just straight up.
I've heard that tidbit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So I'm excited to see what they're thinking. Hopefully
hot biff.
Hot biff.
Hot biff in a can.
It's like Hot Biff. You'd be like in UT Ford, you'd see Hot Biff, right? He's a white guy with a crew cut and he's got sunglasses on. Mm-hmm. And Hot Biff would be standing next to
Does he have big muscles?
He's got big muscles. He'd be standing next to like an Egyptian person. Like an Egyptian lady.
Yeah.
She's got boobies.
Is she wearing like an Egyptian gold bikini or something?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But she has probably a robot face.
A little bit of a robot face going on there.
And robot snake like, hair.
Then you'd have like your space reaver, like space insanity lady next to that lady.
Yeah.
And then next to that, you'd have like a really buff black dude with dreads.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like your typical UT characters.
Yep.
I dig it.
And then you have just like a floating eyeball. Like it, just a Jolly Rancher. Unwrapped.
There was a gun in that game that shot basically melted unwrapped Jolly Ranchers, and it was the bane of my existence.
Did you not do it a lot?
What happens is it shoots, like, basically, it blows jizz loads all over the ground, and they stay there for a little while. And
that if was you, like my father.
And if you walk over them, you sizzle.
It's not like my father.
Well, here's to more of that coming.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
All right, should we call it?
I think we should call it.
Awesome.
Call it.
Called it.
Called it. Jamie, pronounce this podcast dead.
Dark Souls?
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls?
Dark Souls.
What would you do if this podcast was a dead body at a restaurant and you had to like look at your watch and then look at another watch and take its pulse?
No, I wouldn't do that. If this is what I would do, if I thought someone died at a restaurant, I'd go over to them, I'd check for a pulse, and if they had a pulse, I'd yell, call 911. Then I wouldn't do anything. And if they had no pulse, just start making out with them. Just go nuts.
Good choice.
Last wishes. Go
all over it.
Best choice.
All over this one, because it's dead. See you next week.
All right.
In the afterlife.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Hot biff.